Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 10, 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. And then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, giving them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is one of the most familiar parables that is told in the Bible, and it's something that even non-believers and non-Christian people understand and recognize. You can tell by, as we drive up and down US 23, you'll see a van that says Good Samaritan on it, and they help people who are broken down and along the side of the road. And people know that those people are good people who will help them in times of trouble. But the thing is that it's lost context. One of the things that I have done as a children's sermon is, if you took someone from the first century of Palestine and you brought them into this church and you showed them a cross on the wall, they'd be horrified. It would be like you walk in, you look, and there's an electric chair hanging on the wall, or a gas chamber hanging on the wall. Why would you put something as ugly and horrific as that on your wall? You see, we've forgotten that before Jesus died on the cross, it was used to crucify the worst, nastiest, cruelest people on earth. Well, the same thing is true of this parable of the Good Samaritan. Going back in time, we have to go back to almost 200 BC. And the Syrian Empire comes rolling into the Holy Lands. And they're persecuting other religions. And the Jews are beaten down hard. And as the armies move into Samaria, the Samaritans say, "Oh, we're not Jewish. Don't know what you're talking about. We're glad to have you here. Come on in. We'll tell you whatever you need to know." So the Samaritans were complicit, and they gave information to the Syrians to oppress the Jews. And they allowed the Syrians to marry into their families and to live in the area and mixed everything all together. The Samaritans were traitors. In this story, as Jesus is telling it, they're going, "Ah, the priest didn't want to be unclean. He was going to go to the next town and send someone back." Or maybe that was the Levite that was going to do that. But when the Samaritan comes on the scene, they said, "Oh, he'll kill him and take all his stuff." Because it was just assumed that the Samaritan would do the most selfish, self-serving thing he possibly could. The Samaritan was the lowest of the lows to the Jews because they had sold him out to their enemy. And yet in this story, Jesus goes, but what happens if the Samaritan is the one who picks him up and takes care of him? What if the Samaritan is the one who puts him on his donkey and he walks just to get him to the next town? What if he gives 2 days' wages to the innkeeper to take care of him? And suddenly, this Pharisee, this lawyer of the law, is put in a difficult position. Because what he was trying to do at the beginning is he says, give me my checklist. Tell me what I need to do. I'm going to check the boxes and I'm going to win the game. He says, I'm going to not bear false witness. I'm not going to make graven images. I'm not going to covet. I'm not going to steal. I'm going to check all the Ten Commandments off. And Jesus goes, what does it say in the law? And they go back. This is called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And all your mind. And then he adds, and your neighbor as yourself. Where did he get that? From Jesus. When Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, he gives the Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. And then he says, and the other is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So this lawyer is slick enough to know that Jesus has already given the answer. So he gives the answer that Jesus gave, saying, I just got brownie points again. But then he says, but who is my neighbor? And he gets thrown this ridiculous curveball. Can you imagine a van going down the street that said, the good drug dealer, the loving pimp, the good gangbanger? This is what is being flipped over on them. This lawyer is so confused, he doesn't know what to end this up now. But it comes down to that piece that I said at the very beginning is, no one cares how much you know unless they know how much you care. And a neighbor is someone that you care for. So often when I pray, I ask to be a good disciple for whoever you lead me to the next day, because I don't know who that is going to be. Now, there's a flip side of that. Is first, you do have to know stuff, so you have something to give people when after you show them you care. And the other is that you actually have to care for yourself. One of my favorite prayers comes from a little book. It says, Prayers of Children Who Get It Right. And it comes from a girl named Susan. And she says, Dear God, please take care of my mommy, take care of my dad, my sister, my brother, and I. But first, God, take care of yourself, because if you don't, we're all screwed. Without God, you don't have anything. So this extravagant caring is what turns this entire story around. That a Samaritan would sacrifice 2 days' wages, give him the water and the wine that he had for himself, totally changes the story. Changes it to such an extent that Samaritan is now has a wonderfully good connotation of being selfless and generous and loving. But in our world, We tend not to do stuff like that. I am becoming more discouraged as time goes on, how we want to divide up into teams. Us and them. I was even running with some people, and they were from the wrong park run. We were at this park run, they were that park run. I said, but we're both park runners. My Pinckney cross country team went to the park and we ran into the Chelsea cross country team. And there was immediate tenseness and animosity. And I said, we're all runners running in the park, for crying out loud. Well, we see each other at conference, we'll see each other at regionals, we'll see each other at state. Just don't burn yourself up with all this hatred. But it affects the way we act. We tend to be gracious and generous to the people on our side. We tend to work in charity with the causes that we agree with and neglect the ones that we don't. That's clearly not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you're going to run into people who betrayed you, who are on the wrong side, who do the wrong stuff, and guess what? They're your neighbor. So what are you going to do? You're going to care for them. See, if this was a theological piece here, what would happen is at the end, either the outpouring of gratitude toward the Samaritan would have converted the Samaritan to Judaism, or the compassion of the Samaritan would have converted the Jew to the Samaritan cause. But that didn't happen. It wasn't about what they believed. It was about what they were doing. But what I do believe is after this happens, they have a relationship, and all of a sudden, Samaritans aren't those people. Samaritan is that guy right there who helped me. Jews aren't those judgmental people from Jerusalem. It was the poor guy sitting by the side of the road that I picked up and carried on my donkey. What if we could do that in our world? Where Democrats aren't those people, it's that person that I know. Or Republicans aren't those people, it's that guy that I know. That Catholics aren't those crazy people, it's Father Dan up the road. That we break down these barriers and we start to look at the people who are in different groups as our neighbor. We don't need to convert them before we can care. Perhaps by caring them, they may be converted. But as Jesus lays this out, that's not the point. The point is to know who it is your neighbor. I'm going to close with a quote. Regard each of them like they were your own children. Listen to what they say. Care about what they need. Take care of them. Look on them as your own beloved, and they will stand by you, even in the deepest valleys. Anybody want to guess where that one comes from? Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Chinese proverb, thousands of years old. Regard each of them like they were your children. Listen to them. Care for what they need. Look at them as your own beloved sons, and they will stand by you even in the darkest, deepest valley. If they understood that for the art of war, how much more should we understand it for the art of love? Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you today, we admit that historically we flip a lot of the things around in our head. The cross is a beautiful thing. A Samaritan is a loving person. And we've lost context of what it is that you called us to do. Help us to understand that the neighbors that we're looking for might be standing in the wrong line, from the wrong town, wearing the wrong clothes, doing the wrong things, but it doesn't make them any less our neighbors. Help us to understand this lesson that you taught your disciples so that we might understand it as well, and that we might care for those that come across our paths as though they're our neighbors, because they are. Amen. We're going to go back in the archives and get a little